Let me pray for us as we get into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do speak truth to us. And we thank you, Father, that we come here today as a body to learn what your truth is. We pray that, Father, that today as we get into this series about family and how to raise our children, and as we look at what your scripture says, as it has set the bar for us, I pray that we walk out of here encouraged. I pray that we walk out of here knowing that, God, that you're the one that loves us, that you're the one that shows us grace, you're the one that gives us freedom in Christ, and you're the one that unconditionally loves us more than we will ever be able to comprehend. Father, I thank you so much what your word says to us today. And I pray that, God, that you would just allow us to be attentive to hearing it. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it is good to see you. I am kind of closing with the last of the series. Over the past few weeks, I've intentionally talked about the family and where this particular scripture, and you can go ahead and start turning there to Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we're going to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and looking at what does the Bible say about raising the bar to having a godly family. What does the Bible say in terms of our own personal walk with the Lord when we're looking at our lives compared to other people's lives, compared to even God? Where is the bar? How has the bar been raised? If I was to ask each and every single one of you, what is the most important thing in your life today? I would dare say, and the good answer would always be, it's obviously Jesus, right? The most important thing. But I think next on the list, if I was to ask each of you, what is the most important thing in your life? I would dare say that you would probably say it would be your family. I would think that you would say it would be your spouse. It would be your kids. It would be your grandkids that lays number one on your heart, the things that you're thinking about, the things that you're praying for, the things that you intentionally do or sacrifice or give up would be for your family. And so over the past 2 weeks, I have read from Deuteronomy chapter 6 of what it talks about when Moses shares this picture where God is talking to the Israelites and talking to his people about where they stand in their own walk with God and within their own family. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. It comes from the Hebrew, from the Torah, part of the Torah, the Old Testament Hebrew books where people would look at these particular ways of how to live their life and dealing with laws and dealing with commands and how to live your particular life. The first 30 chapters alone deals with the Israelites on recounting over the 40 years of them wandering around in the wilderness. And then it reminds us that the Israelites is to always follow Yahweh, to follow God, to make Him number one in their lives, to love God with all of their hearts, with their minds, with all of their soul, and with their strength. But the third thing I want to touch on today is this. It put forth the whole idea that repentance offers blessings and restoration in our life. It brings about repentance. It allows us to look to see where we are when it comes to God raising the bar, giving this command in our life. Where do we stand with that? As a reminder, back the past couple weeks in verse 5, as we look at the scriptures, let's just look at verse 5. It says, you. And we talked about that whole idea of you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus also talked about this, and he added on to a little bit up to this, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As he, when someone was asking, what is the greatest command? And then he said, like that, love your neighbor as yourself. Two feats, two raising the bar so high that you began to realize, can I even do this? And many people thought they could. And we're living this life that says, absolutely. And some live in their life and say, not even close. I'm not even coming close to there, so I'm not going to even try. Or I've already given up. Or I'm going to give in. Or I'm going to give over to whatever else is out there. When it comes to the first word, you, where are you when it comes to loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength? It all starts with the you. You know, when you look at your family and you look at your kids or your spouses, one of the things that you probably do, I hope that you do a lot, is that you tell them that you love them. Your words speak very loudly to people. People need to hear that. I love you. Your kids need to hear that. Every day, your spouse needs to hear that. Every single day. As a reminder of where you stand with them. And if you haven't said it today, or if you don't say it, you're wondering, does it make you uncomfortable to say that I love you to your spouse or to your kids? You need to examine that, where you are in your relationship with them. And then I'm going to add an extra one. Not only should you tell them that you love them, but you should show them that you love them. Words are great, but if you don't back it up with action, then sometimes it becomes pointless, because when it all comes down to it, you have to be willing to show what you actually feel. And you know, it comes down to this. God has told us that he loves us. And God proves to us daily by his actions that he loves you. So here's the bar. The bar has just been raised. Do we tell God, have we shown God that we love him? Do we say it to him enough? When was the last time you told God, I love you? When was the last time you showed God you loved him? Now, what we do in terms of how we show that may look different from other people. Maybe you're thinking, well, Troy, I'm here at church, so I'm showing God I love him. And I prayed yesterday while we were eating dinner. I showed him that we love him. And on I-30, when I was driving down the street and that guy flipped me off, I showed God I loved him because I didn't do nothing. But I don't think that's exactly what God's talking about. You. So it always starts off with the you. The first principle I said was this. The days are long, but the years are short when it comes to our lives and also raising our children. The days are long, but the years are short. All the things that you have to get done in your day, all the things that you're doing, all the things that is taking priority in your life, when you're looking at your children and all the demands and all the needs that you have to give and do, there's probably times in your life you're thinking, I can't do this anymore. There's probably times that you're thinking, I just need to get through this day. And when it all comes down to it, and you look at your family and where they are, and you realize how fast everything has already gone. And the Israelites were feeling the same way. Day after day, day in, day out, serving their masters, tending to the flock, tending to the fields, all the things that they were having to do. The days were long, but the years are short. Life is but a vapor. What if we lived more intentionally? What if we lived more with urgency when it came to dealing with people, and especially with our families? What would that look like to you? To live more intentionally for your family, to live more urgent for your relationship with God, realizing that you only have so much time on this earth. What would your life look like? What things would you say and what things would you do that would be different than the way that you're living right now? The second principle we shared last week was this: extraordinary parenting can happen in ordinary moments. You remember that? Extraordinary parenting can happen in ordinary moments. So many of us, we are always looking for the ideal situations of where everything's got to look perfect and everything's got to look great before we can become holy, before we can share the gospel. We got to make sure that it was part of God's plan. We got to make sure it's this. It's got to make sure it's that. And everything's got to be, the setting has got to be, it's like setting the dinner table in every single situation with God's way of life. How many of you guys actually pull out the china every time you eat? Anybody? Every time you eat, you pull out the china? The nice silverware? The linen napkins? To make sure that everything is right for your dinner? For your breakfast on the way to school? See, that's extraordinary living in ordinary circumstances. And we're talking about, what about having ordinary circumstances that become extraordinary? See, I believe without a doubt, the things that we need to be looking for is those ordinary situations and watch God do the extraordinary. Do you know that every single one of us, I believe, is pretty ordinary? But do you believe that God is giving you all gifts to do extraordinary things for Him? See, it's never about us. It's always about Him. So in every single day, we don't have to worry about trying to be our best and look our best and feel our best before God can work in our lives. And for Him to work in your life when you're raising the family, the bar has already been raised on how to live your life. So the way that we need to live is looking that in ordinary circumstances, in ordinary life, just being real, being genuine before God, coming as yourself, and watching God do something spectacular. Let's look at what He says in verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your what? In your hearts. Don't forget that. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In every single ordinary day, you need to be teaching what? What are you teaching? It says it right here. What are you teaching? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's what God wants you to be teaching. That's what God wants you to be feeling. That's what God wants you to be knowing. That's what God wants you to be acting. In all the ordinary parts, He wants that to be inscribed. Literally, the whole idea of teaching literally means to press upon, means to engrave. And I had a plaque here last week that everything was engraved. He wants you to engrave in your heart this command. Because this command is what changes everything in your life. When you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. We got to seek Him first. Don't look for the perfect times to talk about Christ. God is active in all circumstances. Everything is a lesson. Everything is a lesson. Everything is a lesson. If we're willing to teach it, if we're willing to engrave what's in our hearts. The third principle today that I want to share and I want to close with is this. It's more of a question than it is a principle. It's more of a question than it is some type of nugget of truth that I want you to hold on. I want you today, I want you to look at this and answer this question. Because it's a question that I think if we're honest, It may take you, because it's taken me several weeks as I began to writing this, to try to figure out what's the best answer for this. My question is this: how good is good enough? How high is high enough for you to feel that you are doing a great job in raising your family? How high is high enough when it comes to you in your own spiritual life, walking with God, where you walk away and you say, okay, I'm doing all right? Does anyone ever feel at times that you're not walking with God very closely? Does anyone here in the church ever feel like that the bar has been raised so high that you're not able to compete with the other parents out there? And we look at other people and we say, why can't I look like them? Why can't I have what they got? Why am I personally struggling with this and I never see those people struggling with this? What is it for me? How good is good enough? How high is high enough when it comes to raising the bar? I was watching this video a couple weeks ago, and I'd like for you to watch this. This is a high school kid by the name of Mondo. That's actually how fast I really run. Can y'all see it? And now he knows. Imagine that feeling. Ever had that feeling? Oftentimes in life, we run and we jump and we go right underneath that bar. I wonder how many people tried to attempt to make that jump with the bar being raised that high, and how many people attempted and attempted and attempted and probably got their pole vault stuck in the middle of things, or begin to go up and then just came right back down, or just went straight under, or just said forget it and threw the pole down, or just ran and threw the thing down and dove onto the mat. Or I wonder if anyone actually got that high but then hit the bar. You know, in real life, I think that that's what's going on in every single day in terms of what happens in our spiritual life or when it comes to raising a family. So for some of us, maybe we haven't even grabbed the pole vault. Maybe we have never even to even grab this thing. Maybe we have never just taken the pole, meaning that we've never taken Christ and we've never even entered into the game, the competition of what it's like. We say that, no, I can do it on my own. I'll be able to deal to create something else. I'll just use chopsticks. You know, there are people out there in life trying to pole vault with chopsticks. I want you to think about that spiritually. There are so many people doing it all the wrong ways. Or maybe they create their own method, their own stick, but they don't use the right pole to even get them up, to be able to have a chance to even raise the bar and to go over it. And it's just not working out. Maybe you have trusted Christ. You have the pole vault. But to be honest, you feel. Your spouse or your kids possibly feel that you're only jumping about 2 inches. Maybe your wife or your husband or your significant other or your kids, or maybe you look at your life and you say, I can't look like these other people. I can't do it like they are able to do it. And you really just don't know what you're doing. You have the pole. You're just like me. I have no idea what to do with this thing. Seriously, I have no idea. Eddie, let me borrow this, but I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't know where to, do I throw it? Do I run? I don't know what to do with this thing. I know I'm supposed to run, and I've seen it. I mean, I saw that guy just do something, and I'm sure I probably could do what he just did. Yeah. Come back next week. I got the pole. Why am I not able to do what he's able to do? I don't even know if I could even make it down there. Maybe you're spiritually, you're grounded in God's Word. Your whole family's in God's Word. You go to church. You pray before every meal. You have little group Bible studies before bedtime. It looks great. You're sharing Christ with people. You're living it out. You're jumping around 15 to 19 feet every single day on a consistent basis. The bar has been set. Maybe you're breaking all kinds of records, even all around your friends and families in the neighborhoods you're working with. And you're looking at yourself and say, I'm actually doing pretty good compared to all these other people. And so you just play around them. Maybe your pole, though, is hanging on a wall. Maybe you put your pole in the closet because you said, you know what? I've already gotten 19 feet. Been there, done that. I'll let these other little younger whippersnappers try to do what I'm doing. I've been doing this for so many years, I don't need to worry about it. I got my pole, I got my plaque, I'm doing everything great. God is going to give me my medal when it's all over with, it's all said and done. He knows I've done, I've arrived, I've retired, I'm good to go. Let me just sit here and just think about food afterwards, because Troy, your word no longer applies to me because I've already been there. I'm already 85 years old. I've arrived. I think if we're honest, we may be in one of these areas. See, if the bar is too low, we get into trouble. And if we artificially try to raise the bar temporarily, or someone else has raised it, we're getting into trouble. And to be honest with you, if I am really honest with you and vulnerable, we probably have felt like we have failed as possibly as a parent or as a Christian. The command already, the bar is already pretty high. But when ordinary other people are competing around us and we're around them, how many of you guys ever felt, you don't have to raise your hand, but have ever felt like, I can't compete with these people. I just can't. These people are not even trying to compare themselves to me. I keep comparing myself to them, but I feel like just giving up. I keep just giving in. I keep getting over. I don't even want to pick up the pole anymore. I don't even want to try to even run my own race or to play my own game or to be in the event, because every event that I'm in, someone's always better than me. Well, I can't even do it at a birthday party. I can't compete with parents at a birthday party. You remember the good old birthday parties? You remember you just had just little hats? Little blow things? You remember that? And that was like the best thing in the world. Five balloons, pop them all, you're done. Nice little cake, pin the tail on the donkey. Can I have a slumber party? Okay. If it's free. Going skating, having a bounce house in your backyard. That was huge. Oh, no. Those days are gone. Parents, if you want to be a respectable, good parent these days, you have to do some of these. Number one, forget about Chuck E. Cheese. You got to end up doing this. Girls, American Doll. There is a sweet little cafe in there, and you can get all the dolls. You can do all these wonderful, beautiful things in there and go to the Galleria for about $700, and your kids will love it for that hour. Don't forget to give them their $50 party favors for attending. Yes, what happened to the little candies? Oh, no. Do you know that parents are giving more out than they're receiving? That is messed up. That is seriously messed up. That you're giving out more for attending the party, buying the kids friendships. Come to my party. We got $50 credit cards for you now. Limo ride. It's sweet and sassy. They're not sweet. They are only what? Sassy. If you give them a limo ride to get all dressed up and pay $500 for this. Renting out a movie theater. You can't just go to the movies with some friends. Oh, no. You got to rent the stinking movie theater. Party buses. That thing's coming to you. Then they got arcades in them. They got all these things inside of them that you can do. But you don't just stay there. Oh, no. It takes you to the Mavericks games or to the Rangers games 3 hours early so you can meet all the players before, get autographs, get on the field, and then you go sit in your seats with all you can eat, whatever, and then go back home $700 later. How's every parent doing right now? I'm just making sure that you're keeping up. I can't keep up with that. My kids are out of luck. I can't keep up with that unless you guys give a hefty raise. And so when I start feeling like I can't compete and the bar has been raised so high, I start to feel insecure. I start to feel like, oh my goodness, I can't even hang around those people. You stop making those phone calls. You start hanging. You go, oh, I'm not wearing what they're wearing. I'm not doing what they're doing. I can't be around that crowd. Oh, he's too holy. Oh, she's too this. Or, oh, they're too that. And they may not even be thinking about that. They're just living their own life. They're just in their own competition. That guy can't help now that he can run and jump over 15 feet. It's not his fault that he practiced and worked at it and tried and made it part of his life. You shouldn't judge a person because they're able to do it, and you shouldn't judge a person because they can't do it. Right? How high is too high? And spiritually, we feel that. We compare ourselves to people, and we feel like, I just want to give up. Or we just give in and say, you know what? For me to keep up with this particular family, let's just do it. Jamie, let's just do it. Get out the credit card. We're spending $1,000 today. We're keeping up with the Joneses. We'll pay it off later. Much later. 20 years from now. And spiritually, many of us just give up because we don't feel like we're in the same place as somebody else. And we give in. If I can't do it, I might as well just live the way I want to live and sin and do this and do that. And heck, I mean, He already forgave me. For thousands of years, religious people have been notorious on trying to raise the bar. Theirs was intentional. And for thousands of years, people have allowed them to raise the bar on them. And they compared their lives to these religious people because they did not know any different, because no one talked to them about that until Christ came. They just thought that was the way you're supposed to be. The Pharisees, the Sadducees in the New Testament were religious professionals. This is what they were good at, was making sure that you look less than them. It's like Hollywood. It's like all these people we look at on social media. It's the YouTubers. It's these people living these fantasy lives that's not even genuine and real. And we look at it and we think that this is really the way it is. And they raised the bar. They even tried to raise it on Jesus. That's funny. The religious people literally tried to raise the bar on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ watched and said, okay, I got your 19 foot, 1 inches. Good job. Watch this. I'm going to surpass that. And here's what he said. Let's just use the fourth commandment as an example. Remember the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath and keep it what? Holy. Good job, guys. Keep it holy. That literally means to keep it holy. Keep it perfect. Keep it the way he would keep it. But here's what the professionals say. Well, that's good, God. But I think you kind of left out a few things. So they literally added 39 more other rules that you had to follow underneath just that one command. 39. It's called the try harder method. Anyone ever just tried harder and you just can't measure it up? Guys, I try hard all the time doing math and it does not ever add up. I tried so hard to pass a math test, I didn't even know how to turn my calculator on and work it. And I'm not making that up. So I guessed on every single problem. The try harder method does not work. It will hold you in bondage. It will make you feel like a failure. It will end up strangling you. It will make you judgmental. It will make you feel insignificant. It will make you feel unworthy. The try harder system never works. It's legalistic. Jesus came to give you life and gave it to you what? More abundantly, to the full. He came to give you life. He came to give you freedom in Christ. The freedom. No bondage, no try harder method. So that you're telling me I can live any way I want now. No, I'm not saying that. Even Paul said, no, that's stupid, that's foolish. And they raised the bar on Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, you know what, I guess I'm going to just swoop in here. You're probably right, guys. Let's do the 39 things. You're probably doing what God, my Father, is wanting you to do. Let's see if everybody else can do it. And I'd like to see if you could do that. Matter of fact, everybody, if you can't do it, no big deal. Everybody gets a trophy. That's not what he said either. Watch this. Matthew 5, 21, 22a says this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause is in danger of judgment. Jesus just kind of raised the bar a little bit. See, every society at this point had a law against murder. Everyone did. Everybody said, no, you shouldn't murder. It's bad. Everybody could agree on that, right? How high is the bar for that? That's it. Don't murder. Anyone murdered anybody in here? Has anybody ever murdered anybody? Please let me know. You guys are doing a wonderful job. You had just stepped over the bar. But he said not murder. What did he say? But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause is in danger of judgment. The bar has now just been raised another 200 feet. Past that guy, you got the visual still in your head? That was only 19 foot 1 inches. Go up another 200 feet. To outlaw anger. What are you talking about, Jesus? You can't be serious. There's no way that I cannot be angry. We'll try this one. Matthew 5, 27, 28. You shall not commit adultery. Okay. Don't tell me this one, by the way. Well, let's keep it right here. Murder. Committing adultery. Right here. How's everybody doing? Don't answer that. Oh, no. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The bar just got raised even higher. And the bar's going to get even higher. Here we go. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Sabbath, keep it holy. Not just for that day. I want you to keep it holy all 7 days. 24/7. Every day, be holy for I am holy. Guys, we can't even see the top of the bar right now. This guy right here, his name is Renaud. He's a Frenchman, and he surpassed a high school guy. He went 20 foot, 2.5 inches. This is the world record holder right here. No one has made it past this guy so far. This guy has set the bar pretty high. Everybody is comparing themselves now to this guy. The high school guy, it's great. He's in high school, but he's probably already graduated now. Not even thinking about him anymore. We're all looking at this guy right now. But the bar that God has set will unfortunately never be met. The Heavenly Father is perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. But that's what Jesus' command is all about. The reality is that God demands perfection. How's everybody doing right now? I want to end with this. Let's finish this text as we finish up. Verse 8. So as you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, and these words which I command you to do, you shall be in your what? Your heart. And you should teach them, you should engrave them, you should inspire them, you should plant it, you should impress it upon your children and part of your life. You should talk about it all the time, even when you're sitting down and when you're walking and you're living your life on an ordinary day and you're sitting around your house and when you go to sleep and when you rise up and you start your day, you got to have God in your what? In your heart. You got to be willing to hold the pole. You got to know what the pole is. You got to go know what the pole is being used for. But so many times people will look at this and just say, oh, that's just too hard of a life to live. I'm not even going to even pick up the pole and attempt to do it. I'm not even going to not worry about the pole. I'm not even going to worry about running the race. I'm not going to worry about picking up the ball and trying to shot put it. I'm not going to worry about doing any part of the event because I know that I won't ever win. In verse 6, 8, and 9 says this, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What is he talking about there? The key today is for us to know that what is on your heart, what is actually inside. There's a picture here I want you to look at with the Jewish people actually doing. And this guy is called Phylacteries. It's called the Tefillin. It's what the Jewish people back in the day in the Old Testament, they would have and kept it in between their eyes, on their forehead. And they would strap it on their, actually on their left hand, they would strap it and they would have this box, or they would have this box in here. And inside there would actually be scrolls inside with little parchment papers. And on the parchment paper would be the commands. And what are the commands? It's to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your soul. The problem was later on, and this is why God and Moses was talking about this, is for us to live this way, to make sure this was on the front part of your life, to make sure that you're using this in every part of your life, that you're seeing this in every part of your life, that you're feeling this in every part of your life. And the whole idea, it got converted, it got changed, it got just totally messed up because the Pharisees began to do it. What was meant for be something that was good and wholesome, what was meant to be so, even though challenging, but was so passionate, God changed. They literally didn't take this figuratively. They made it literal. Look how stupid that looks. Seriously. Who's going to want to walk around with a box on their head and their arms and have it strapped up? I get what they're trying to do. But if you don't walk around with that box on your head and you don't have the straps and you don't have the parchment papers and probably the right parchment paper and the right command and say the right things and look the same way as they do, you're comparing yourself and they're comparing you and judging you. It was never to be meant literal. It was a figurative language on how to live your life each day. And it's crazy how literal we take other people, what they say and what they do, and we try to do the same thing. We still try to put on what other people are putting on. We try to clothe ourselves. We try to dress up our house. We try to dress up our cars. We try to dress up our spiritual life looking like a certain way because we don't want to be judged. We don't want to look inferior, and we don't want to not know how to use the pole. We're going to carry around the pole, but don't ask me to run with it. Don't ask me to try to jump with it because I'm going to embarrass myself. I'll just tell you I can do it, okay? Guys, I'm probably about 17 to 22 feet on an average day. I can jump. But I really can't, you know, I really don't want to do it right now. And that's how we oftentimes live our life. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were the first ones to start really kind of comparing and making us feel inferior. And people probably back then, thousands of years ago, were asking the question, how high is high enough? How good is good enough? There's going to be a day when the Antichrist is going to come, and there's going to be something in Revelation 13:16 that says that you also got to wear something on the front of your forehead or right there. The time is coming. And if you don't have this and you don't have that, you're going to have a world of hurt. Temptation is coming. Persecution is coming. You're not going to feel adequate. You're not going to be able to even probably live. You won't be able to buy what you need to buy. You won't be able to do what you need to do because the time is coming. We're only getting a little bit of it now. Wait until the time when the Antichrist is here and it tells you how you need to really live your life. And then let me tell you something. And if you don't have something else engraved and implanted in your what? Heart. You're going to fall for it. Every time. So I close with this. Let God, let Jesus Christ take your pull. Let Him, you jump on His back and run that race. You let Him soar this thing. You let Him pick up whatever needs to be picked up. You let Him put down what needs to be put down in your life. You don't compare your life to any other person because every other person is comparing themselves to other people and you don't know who's leading. If it's not Christ leading and engraved in your heart, you're in the wrong event. And can I tell you something, by the way? Did you know that every single one of you is in a different event? So you don't need to compare yourself anyway. We're not all running the same event. God, in Jeremiah 29:11, He said, I have a plan to prosper you. I have plans for you. Every one of us is in our own event. How can you compare your own family to another family? How can you compare your own spiritual life to another spiritual life? I wish my spiritual life looked like many of yours. But I'm not going to compare myself to you. I'm running my own event. Because God's got a purpose and a plan for my life, just like He does for you. And by the way, don't ever feel like you've arrived to put this up or hide it in a closet. Don't ever give in and don't ever give up. What He's wanting us to do was the third choice. Give it over. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that as we wrap up this last part of the series and where the bar has been set, Father God, I pray that each person will walk out of here encouraged to know that You have their own event. You have Your own plan for each of their life. I pray that, God, that each one of us will never look like we have to compare ourselves to other people. And I definitely pray that none of us ever try to make us feel more inferior or better than someone else, because we're not. You said that we all fall short of the glory of God. You say that all of our works are like filthy rags. So today, we come to You, Lord, just as we are. Your plan, Your purpose, Your event. I pray that each person here today would inscribe in their hearts how much You love us. And I pray that today that we tell You and we show You how much we love You. If we can say this to our family, then we need to say this with you. And if we can say this with you, then we should say this to our families. Lord, I'm not naive to know that there's not problems going on with families, or hurts, or problems, or situations that need to be worked on. But who else to give it over to than the Master Counselor, the Shepherd of our lives, the Creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the One that knows us, the One that created us, the One that knit us together in our mother's womb? Why not give it over to You? Why not You be the one to let us know what our plan is? Lord, for those that have children, for those that desire to have children, for those that cannot have children, would they be reminded that You have a perfect plan for them? And they don't need to compare themselves to other people. They just need to be in the event with You, drawing close to You. That's our prayer today, Lord. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.